WMFO in Medford. Pure beef patty, lettuce, tomato.
You really think that just because you have an idea, it belongs to you?
You ain't never in your life heard a disc jockey come through here like me.
Mixes different quotes of people and a wide variety of songs, very, very freeform, which is the point of WMFO.
Push it right to the edge.
The feeling of oneness, to be one with nature, the feeling to see now the true aspects of nature, the beauty in it, and which filled me with happiness.
Oh, you're such a good girl.
I know you like two things I like. Chicken and chicks.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this show's producer, WMFO, its staff and management, or Tufts University.
You had the power to be all good, all wise, and all powerful. Why would you make the world you have now?
I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
I was not drunk. I was on pills.
It's my show. I can do whatever I want, so I am.
The government is increasing its power to watch you and diminishing your power to watch the government, and that is extraordinarily dangerous.
Where is it? I've never heard any music like this in my life before, and if I ever have, I don't know where I heard it.
Get your own show. Play your own music.
Harmony is layers. Built up on top of one another.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastic.
Strawberries.
There's no crime in giving yourself over to pleasure.
I think there should be complete freedom for the artist and performer. The artist should feel free to use nudity if he feels like it.
Two days later, now fully recovered, Hoffman reported his discovery to the head of the laboratory. One teaspoon of this new drug, LSD, could render 50,000 people temporarily insane.
kommt und wir bleiben gesund.
You ready?
24!
Yeah.
Good evening, and welcome to the Plastic Sushi Strawberries in Time Sound Collage here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Edward Buechert, and this week we are having our second and final training session with new DJs Dan Reed and Avery. And so, let's see. Well, you know, this is a sound collage, and we do a lot of crazy things here. But one thing we always start a Plastic Sushi off with that you can count on is some Japanese music. And then we go genre jumping, mixing it up with all other different styles of music. Although this week, what we started things off with before the music was just a wonderful public service message, Discover the Forest. And these are some of the best days of the year in New England. And I really want to encourage everybody to go out and discover a great forest that's certainly not too far away here from the Tufts University campus where we're broadcasting from. The Mystic River Reservation. I go running along the Mystic River in that reservation 4 or 5 times a week, 5-mile run, up to the Tufts Sailing Pavilion, the Bacow Sailing Pavilion, and there really is a forest there, so it's a great thing to check it out. It just takes a couple of minutes to cross Route 16, and you're there. So all of that kind of started me off on on another interaction that we've gotten, our audio clips from who knows where in this show. That was Dr. Albert Hoffman before that public service message. And he was the discoverer of lysergic acid diethylamide, which is a very powerful hallucinogenic, also called LSD. And we're going to be hearing a few more bits from him about that discovery. Although I would want to firmly say that I am not advocating that anybody use dangerous psychedelic drugs, but I think it's important as a person to know what they are, and for me, they've led to some of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had, and some of the scariest, and we're going to be hearing some of that. We began the music with the Japanese band Dragon Ash and 21st Century Riot from their Lily of the Valley album. And right now, we've kind of got double ambiance going on behind me with something from Wendy Carlos, her epic ambient masterpiece, Winter. But what I'm doing is I'm playing it backwards, sonically backwards. And then we've also got something from Irv Tybell, his recording of an Easter be-in in New York City Central Park from 1969. And that's going on behind us, kind of spread out a bit. And in the next set, we're going to be hearing a song I'm sending out to Chuck Yu. And thanks again for coming up with that disclaimer at the beginning of my show here, which I think is important for this evening's content. We're also going to be hearing from Tchaikovsky, Swan Lake, and then Peter Gabriel and Miles Davis. And I am mixing up on that canonical cool jazz piece of the Pan Piper, a short lecture by my intellectual hero, the Nobel Prize winning physicist Richard Feynman, talking about the size of atoms. And also an excerpt from our stories theme that I did a while back with me reading something about a bad trip. On top of some Aphex Twin. And then we're going to end it with a 20th century transgender history lesson, just sort of showing you all the things that that you can do here on WMFO. And then, in terms of hearing more about that, Dan, why don't you tell us what you've got planned for your segment?
On the lineup, I got some Steely Dan, some Charlie Magiera, some Cocteau Twins replacements, Machine Girl, maybe some more Aphex Twin.
Excellent, excellent. And Avery? Yep, get close to the mic and let's go and check out the difference it makes when you're here versus you're here.
Today I'm going to be playing some chill vibes, a little bit of mellow indie mixed in with some alternative rock.
That sounds great. And Reed?
I'm going to start it with Whipped Cream and Other Delights and then move into classic rock. Simon and Garfunkel, also some Frank Sinatra, one song, and then finish it with the Rolling Stones.
So, dear listeners, that is what is coming up. I hope you'll enjoy our show this evening. And, well, we're going to start things off right now by kind of fading out, getting things going here. We're going to fade out some of our ambiance and our microphones, and we're going to start right now with Denki Groove.
You can count on Slippery Pete. We'll be right back.
Sometimes when I was in nature, in the forest, in the wood, that I had some kind of, I would say, mystical experiences.
Climbing up on Salisbury Hill, what I would start with the smallest quantity, which even has any effect. Namely, I started with 4.25 milligrams. And had the intention then to increase the dosage, get them to see some but this very small dose, the first dose of my experiments I planned, was very, very strong.
You're a bad girl.
Incidentally, the quantum mechanics has several aspects. In the first place, the idea that a particle has a definite location and a definite speed is no longer allowed. That's wrong. And to give a measure of how wrong classical physics is, there's a rule that says that you can't both know where something is and how fast it's moving. The uncertainty in the momentum of it and the uncertainty in the position are complementary. The product of the two is a constant. If you want the law, if you like the right equations, you can write this. I will explain it some other time in more detail. This is the explanation of a very mysterious paradox. If the atoms are made out of plus and minus charges, why don't the minus charges simply sit on top of the plus charges? They attract each other. Why don't they just sit there on top? Why is our atom so big? Why, if there is a nucleus here and the electrons around? We first just thought that it was because the nucleus was big. No. The nucleus is very small. The atom in its diameter here is 10 to the minus 8 centimeters. The nucleus in its diameter is of the order 10 to the minus 13 centimeters. What does that mean? That means that if you had an atom and you wanted to see the nucleus, you'd have to expand it, magnify it, till the whole atom is the size of this room, and then the nucleus is a bare speck that you can just about make out with the eye, a hundredth of an inch or more, and all the weight of the atom is in that. What keeps the electrons from simply falling in? This principle. If they sat there, then you'd know where they were and that they weren't moving. And you can't have that. So they don't sit there, because if you try to put them there, they start moving around. Well, they move around and they take a compromise. They leave themselves a little room for this uncertainty, and they jiggle at a certain amount of minimum motion given by this rule. You remember also, when a crystal is cooled to absolute zero, the atoms do not stop moving, they still jiggle. Why? Because if they stopped moving, you'd know where they were and that they had zero motion. And that's against the uncertainty principle. You're not supposed to know where they are and how fast they're moving, so they continually wiggle in there.
When I entered this room, I was really astonished how this room had changed. The room itself and the objects in this room had quite a different form, different color, different meaning. And the objects like this chair was like if he was a living object. It became moving from inside.
Mm-hmm.
just after me and John took it, Sue came up. Of course, it hadn't yet started to take effect, but right then, I got bad feelings. There's no going back, though. As soon as it's in your mouth, you've committed yourself, so to speak. Sue thought I owed her emotional support in her times of need, but I had decided I didn't want to sleep with her anymore. I didn't know how to tell her, so I just ignored her. After she finally left, red and blue squiggles began peeping out of the cracks on the wall. I didn't feel too good. My mouth was dry. I wanted to throw up. John turned on the TV and selected an empty channel. We watched the snow, waiting for a poltergeist. I slumped down in my chair, and the screen dripped to the floor. Just me and John, it didn't go that well. Paranoia set in pretty early, and although John tried to talk me down, it was a traumatic experience. But when we came off it, I realized how absurd it had been. Dan came over and asked us how it was. Powerful stuff, we told him. He was pretty interested. It didn't take me and John long to convince ourselves that it would be a lot different if we were doing it with a pillar of stability like Dan. We took some more and began setting up our toys. Candles, aluminum foil, and Kool-Aid. We lit the candles and turned out the lights. I put on Tangerine Dream, and we waited. It felt a lot better to start with. John sunk into his chair and smiled behind mirrored glasses. Dan sculpted aluminum foil. I watched the movie. I saw a face in the speaker. Who was it, I wondered. Who did I want it to be? I answered. Like everything else, it's what you want. Dan invited me to join him in a candle. We dipped our fingers in the hot wax, examined them as it solidified, and then melted the wax off in the flames. As our ritual developed, I realized that the pain was only as real as you wanted. But because it was real anyway, Dan and I were sharing something important that John, sitting over there, wasn't. And John knew it too. So I suggested that we go outside and look for it. It, said John, what is it? Dan liked the idea, but John wasn't sure. He was afraid, and I was afraid, but I wasn't afraid of my fear like he was, or so it seemed, or so I hoped. Because I really didn't know what it was, and I was sure John didn't, because that's why he was afraid. But Dan seemed to, because he wasn't afraid, but he wouldn't tell me what it was, or even do more than just hint at it. Because he thought I knew what it was, or so it seemed, or so I hoped. So we went outside and we walked in the shimmering slush in which there were these marvelous arabesque patterns that I felt bad about stepping on and breaking because they were so 3D, until I realized that you couldn't break them, you could only change them. And John wanted to know if we were coming to it yet, so I asked him if he thought we were coming to it yet. Dan liked that because he laughed. And I knew it was me and Dan against John. And where we were then, the field was below us about 30 feet, so I told John, it could be over the edge. Why don't you go look? But he was really afraid, more so than before, which was hard, but it was easy because Dan had laughed, and he didn't know where I was coming from, even though he sort of suspected, I think, like I suspected, because just then it occurred to me that me and Dan were trying to get him to kill himself. Or if he wouldn't do it, we'd have to do it for him, all because he was afraid, which was why he deserved to die. So he didn't want to look over the edge, because if he didn't throw himself over, then we might, but he couldn't very well not look over the edge, because that's where it was, and he couldn't be afraid of it, not when we weren't. And besides, we were his friends, and didn't he trust us? So, he had to. But then I realized that I had been afraid before, and he, John, had helped me. And if I was afraid, and he was afraid, who was Dan to try to get him, John, to kill himself just because he was afraid? And I realized that it should be me and John against Dan. So I told Dan that we should all look over the edge to see if it was there, because I wasn't sure either. And then Dan admitted that he really didn't know himself, and I knew he lied, so I was sure we should make him die. And so we all walked over to the edge. But as we got there, I realized I was in the middle, and maybe it was them against me. So I backed off, and John laughed, and Dan laughed, and just to show them I wasn't afraid, even though I was more terribly scared than I had ever been, I laughed. But I wasn't convinced, and I didn't think they were. And Dan asked me, "Are you going to look over the edge, or aren't you?" So I said he should look over the edge first and tell me if he saw it. And then John said the same thing, and Dan laughed at the both of us because he really was afraid. But he couldn't let us know, even though right there he gave it away worse than he ever could have.
Jorgensen was a male-to-female transsexual. She was born in the Bronx in 1926 as George Jorgensen Jr. She went to Denmark in 1950 in search of sex change surgery. She had had since childhood this long-standing, irrepressible desire to live her life as a woman. And in Denmark, she found some doctors who were willing to experiment on her, and she came back to the United States in 1953. But before that, in December of 1952,
you can count on Slippery Pete.
Hello. Oh, wait. You're listening. You're tuned in to the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Thyme Sound Collage here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Non-Commercial Radio. I'm your host, Edward Buchert, and this week we are having our second training session. And we've got Dan Reed and Avery. We played a set of starting off with some Japanese music from Denki Groove, the song Hiking, my Plastic Sushi Sliding and Gliding remix going out to Chuck Yu, who I know likes that song, because he asked me for a copy of that sound collage. Then a genre jump over to some classical music from Tchaikovsky. That was the scene from Swan Lake, performed by the Montreal Symphony Orchestra. Then we heard Peter Gabriel, Salisbury Hill, followed by Miles Davis, the Pan Piper, a canonical example of cool jazz. And what I did there was I mixed in the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Richard Feynman, who's one of my intellectual idols, him talking about the size of atoms and what's going on with quantum mechanics and the like. And then we heard from Aphex Twin, and that was me reading some excerpts from a short novel that I wrote as kind of my senior thesis for my philosophy degree. It was called Dare. That was about a bad LSD trip. And we also heard some excerpts from Dr. Albert Hoffman. Got some audio clips from a BBC documentary. So he was describing how he came about to discover that, and a bad trip he had, too. And then we finished things off with, unfortunately, just an excerpt of a 20th century transgender history lesson. That was DJ Bobo and Professor Joanne Meyerowitz, who wrote a book on Christine Jorgensen. And then backing me up right now is some more Irv Tybell ambiance. This was Dusk in the Okefenokee Swamp in Georgia. And so he got out there at dusk, and oh, these are all the critters that are going on. So coming up next, we're going to start hearing some music from our new WMFO DJs, and I'm going to turn things over to Dan, and pretty soon he'll be stepping in here and talking to you here on WMFO in Medford. Thank you.
just heard some Charlie Magiera, Failure in Love, classic. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. Coming up, we have some Cocteau Twins.